As a 300-foot-tall dino monster, people think all I'm good at is rampaging. But there's more to me than that. Just like Geico. Yeah, they could save you money, but they also have over 75 years of savings and service. So Geico is super good at insurance. And yeah, I like rampaging. But I'm also a huge fan of opera.
Geico. Expect great savings and a whole lot more.
Hour number two of the Todd Brommelkamp Show underway alongside Alex Kuhn, Zach Johnson, our associate producer on the other side of the glass, and we have kept him a lot busier today than Jeff Downing was yesterday during the inaugural show. And if you missed it, you can download the podcast at kgymradio.com as well as checking out some other things. I did notice yesterday, I was told that everything was up to speed on the website, but I did notice that there are some things such as bios that didn't get edited. So they still refer to the previous program.
We'll work
on
that.
But again, this is sort of a beta test. And I don't know, maybe at the end of the week, this goes down as the shortest radio program in the history of sports talk radio. And they decide within the building that they're going to change course. I don't know.
A record's a record, right?
A record is a record. There are no guarantees in this business, and I understand that. I know that every day when I wake up and come in the back door, today could be my last day. And especially if I continue to go down this road of... Look, I'm going to not be critical just for the sake of being critical, even though I have sometimes been accused of that in the past. I don't like criticizing. I really don't. But every once in a while, I think it's warranted. And in this particular case, I'm circling back to the Iowa football news today that they've added Middle Tennessee State to the schedule in 2019. I think it's very much warranted because I don't know whether it's right to say that there was a bait and switch here, because that's not the case. But there were some hints and there were some mentions of, and I've got the story in front of me. Mark Morehouse of the Cedar Rapids Gazette wrote it in December when we were in Tampa at the Outback Bowl. And the story is from December 28th, Barta on early signing, 10th assistant, and the Hawkeyes schedule. And down at the bottom of the article, he talks about UI athletic director Gary Barta said, close to filling some schedule slots in football. As it stands right now, the next open date is September of 2019. That's the date that got filled today. We're close on a couple of conversations, but not ready to announce, Barta said. Again, this is late December. He did add that there are, quote, continued conversations on a neutral site game. Iowa's last regular season neutral site game was in 2012 against Northern Illinois at Soldier Field. And then Mark goes on to say, look, there's a couple glaring issues here. One is the Big Ten plays a 9-game conference schedule. And then the other is the Iowa State series, which right now is bound contractually through the 2021 season. And then earlier this fall, Barta said the thought of a big Labor Day non-conference game was, quote, intriguing, but there had been no discussion on taking a break from the Iowa State series.
So with this news coming out for the next 3 years, we know what the Iowa Hawkeyes will be facing in their non-conference schedule. And to next year, this coming year, Wyoming, Iowa State, North Texas, and then 2018, Northern Illinois, Iowa State, UNI.
Let's put it this way. Two games that you should win, and Iowa State, which for better or worse, has been a coin flip in 18 years with Kirk Ferentz at the helm. And that says more about, in my opinion, about Iowa State than it does Kirk Ferentz, although there is a segment of the Iowa fan base that would make a very strong argument in the other direction. So, in my opinion, you've got two games on the schedule in each of those next three seasons that you should win, and then you've got the Iowa. You're either going to go 2-1 or you're going to go 3-0. And then you're going to go into the Big Ten, and you're going to, you go, okay, 5-4 plus 3-0 in the non-conference, you win 8 games. And then you go back to the Outback Bowl, or you go, what? Who knows what the bowl situation is going to look like moving forward, because contracts come and go.
This is what I don't understand. And Joel and Muscatine brought this up, and I'll come back to the word that he used, risk. And you just brought it up as well. 2 games they should win and a coin flip. The problem is some of these games that they should win, some of these games that they should have won over the past 5 to 6 years, they've lost. And it has put a huge damper on the season. You think back to Central Michigan, Western Michigan all those years ago. There have been games that North Dakota State last year. Those are no-win situations for you, not only for your football program as the way your fans think about it, but the way that you're thought of in the national landscape. And why not go out and challenge yourself? It's a win-win situation for you. And since the text line doesn't want us to compare Iowa to Wisconsin, what about Nebraska? Look at what Nebraska has done over the past 3 years. They have scheduled Miami. They have scheduled UCLA. They have a home-and-home with Oregon. They have a renewed rivalry with Colorado coming up in 2018 and 2019. Cincinnati and Oklahoma are coming up on their schedules. That is something that you can get excited for as a fan in the non-conference.
But it's also something you can do when you're not contractually bound to play Iowa State every year, which is, again, it's a human.
That is true.
It's a human shield for Iowa, and it's one that they are not necessarily in any hurry to drop and run for cover. They would rather just push that out there and say, "Oh, well, Iowa State, 2021, Iowa State, can't talk about it." And I get it, I really do, but I just think that there were some things that were said, there were things that were intimated, and look, maybe Iowa comes up with a chunk of change. And in 2019, they buy Miami of Ohio out of that game. Or in 2018, it's probably a little late for that. But maybe they still make accommodations for some sort of Labor Day neutral site game. Could happen. But when you sort of lead people to believe that there's going to be positive scheduling news on the horizon, and is that how you took the comments?
That's how I took it.
Talked about it on this program back in December and January, that something's on the horizon. They're working. They've had conversations. All of these things get said. All of these things get put in print. There are conversations. We're talking. We're looking at a lot of things.
It's intriguing.
You get the Blue Raiders out of Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and you're going to pay them $1,550,000 and cross your fingers that they're not coming up here loaded for bear with a team that's going to win 11 games and whatever godforsaken league they're in. They're not in the AAC.
The Sun Belt.
They're in the Sun Belt.
Memphis actually got rid of them on their schedule a couple years ago.
Memphis, where Alex's brother, that's the first, sorry about that.
It's all right.
Memphis, where Alex's brother played, dumped Middle Tennessee State from its schedule. Memphis dumped them from their schedule. Maybe that's why Middle Tennessee's adding Iowa to its schedule. And again, I'm seeing a lot of red herrings on the text line here. Let's not talk about, well, there's no benefit to Alabama scheduling Iowa. Only fans, only the most delusional fans are talking about that. I'm talking about the possibility of finding a Power 5 program not located in Ames that is sort of on the same tier as you and playing that series, because good exposure. ESPN's going to air that game over Iowa, Miami of Ohio. I mean, if they have a choice. But we've seen Indiana has done this with Missouri and Wake Forest, Vanderbilt, I believe. Look, those programs are not terrific. But you're still going toe-to-toe and you're mixing things up. And you're not afraid to say, hey, the landscape is changing. This is something that I think would be good for us to do. You're either, as the texter said in hour number one, you're proactive or you're reactive. And Iowa is two things, in my opinion. They tend to be very reactive. And in my opinion, they're also risk averse. Now, maybe, and I do see this in this day and age in college football, maybe it's okay to be risk averse. And I can understand where people are coming from in that discussion as well, that vein of thought. 319-366-1600 is the phone line, as well as the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. Sorry for keeping you waiting here, Ryan. I appreciate it. Let's go to Walford and bring Ryan in. He wants to talk about the schedule. What's up, Ryan?
Hey, guys. How's it going? I mean, personally, I would love to see, like, you know, like Missouri, Kentucky, Virginia Tech, like a home-and-home. But, I mean, I've heard it before on talk radio shows where it's like, as of right now, what's the point in scheduling one of those games? Because if you get a team that's, you know, like Iowa was, and, you know, chances of us seeing our 12-0 season might be slim to none. But I don't think, you know, from maybe their standpoint, there's any benefit to doing that other than maybe recruiting or, you know, gaining a little more national exposure. But, I mean, I would rather give up a game against a bigger conference team in September for a shot to go, you know, to play in a January bowl game. I think, I mean, I'm just trying to play devil's advocate here. I mean, I would love to see the big game, but at the same time, I can see the reasoning why they don't.
Appreciate the phone call, Ryan. You can follow him, 366-1600. Does Iowa get a free pass because of the Iowa State game?
Yes.
Okay, so then then this isn't worth talking about then.
No, well, no.
Iowa gets
from
a free pass. Iowa gets a free pass, and there's nothing here.
No, from us, no. No, but I think from a lot of people out there that, and you brought it up, and I guess I misunderstood your question a little bit. They shouldn't. There was a blank space about 2 weeks ago, a segment that died on the APC.
I think it's dead.
We'll
see.
We'll see
if
what happens.
If it's a slow
to it.
News day, yeah, tomorrow or Thursday, maybe it comes back like The Undertaker.
One of the questions for you was, blank has the most intriguing non-conference schedule in the Big Ten. And you brought up the Purdue Boilermakers in year number one under Jeff Brohm. Now, let me ask you something. Who's going to be more ready to play as a football program come September? Is it going to be Purdue under a first-year head coach who kind of experienced all-time lows under their previous head coach, or the Iowa Hawkeyes? I think the answer would be the Iowa Hawkeyes. So that whole argument about them not being ready to play doesn't hold water when you look at Purdue, who has to play Louisville in Indianapolis to start out their season, then has to play Ohio at home, a good MAC team, and then goes on the road and plays the Missouri Tigers. That is a much more intriguing schedule for a program that certainly won't be as ready to play week one as the Iowa Hawkeyes will.
2017, Wyoming and North Texas, along with Iowa State. 2018, Northern Illinois and UNI, along with Iowa State. And now in 2019, you get Miami of Ohio, even though they don't like being called that. They want to be Miami University, Middle Tennessee State, and Iowa State. Those are the non-conference schedules for the next three seasons. 319-366-1600. We got time to head to Tiffin. We just saw him Friday at the Coach's Corner. John, welcome back. What's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Good seeing everybody Friday night. Good to meet Cajun Troy and Sonny. And she's stumpy all the time, so I'll pass that. Anyway, one question for Hawkeye fans. How would they feel if the Hawkeyes scheduled a big game, let's say in Kansas City against Oklahoma, on a Friday night?
Oh, we're bringing in another variable here, the Friday
That's
night game.
Something that could possibly happen. I don't know. Anyway, I'll hang up and listen. Thanks, guys.
Well, that's not going to happen for a number of reasons, mainly because we're now seeing the Big Ten sort of walking back. Not walking, but somewhere between race walking and jogging away from the idea of Friday night games. They've gone from 6 to 4 with hints that it may be 2 or 3 next year before everything is said and done. Northwestern has already had a couple games that they've rescheduled back to the original Saturday dates because Pat Fitzgerald has been so anti-Friday night football. Let's take that out, because I think now you're setting up for another, a completely different discussion. But I think Iowa has proven in the past, when you have played neutral site games at either Arrowhead or at Soldier Field, fans sort of treat that as a non-conference bowl game, a preseason bowl game. And they show up and they have a good time because, look, you're not going to do this at AT&T Stadium or anywhere outside of the geographic footprint where it makes sense. You're going to do it so that you're in driving distance of most of your fan base.
At Soldier, were you at Soldier Field 4 years ago?
I was.
Or 5 years ago?
I was
ago?
At both of the games against Northern Illinois. The first time they played there, it was hotter than hell.
Did that feel like a non-conference bowl game to you?
It had a little bit of a bowl game feel to it. And it was fun, and people are tailgating in the parking lot before the... And it makes a ton of sense because there's so many alumni in the Chicagoland area. Now, granted, it's Northern Illinois, and that doesn't exactly have the cachet nationally. I mean, I'll go back to what one of the texters said about Iowa sort of being between a rock and a hard place here, because if you don't schedule anybody, you give material to national radio hosts. I don't want to say his name. Everybody knows who I'm talking about. You give material to a guy like Colin, and he's going to come at you with, they don't play anybody. Middle Tennessee State, Wyoming. And then if you scheduled a tougher game against somebody, let's say a Mizzou, which Iowa tried to play Missouri several years ago, and then Missouri, Gary Pinkel, backed out. You say Mizzou, a Colorado, give me one more team, an Arkansas.
Arkansas.
I think the Arkansas thing made so much sense, and that's why I knew it was never going to happen. You play that game and you lose, and then you become the butt of another joke. So,
but which one's worse? I just keep coming back to this. If you lose that game early in the season to Arkansas, how big of a joke is that as opposed to losing to someone else?
22-26 says, what's better, a so-so mid-major or Kansas?
Okay, a so-so mid-major. I will give you that.
Okay, but I'll go with the so-so mid-major, but we don't even know if these guys are going to be so-so. They could be the dregs of their league by then. And of course, you get the other way around. You schedule North Dakota State 5 years out or whatever, and you have no idea that they're going to start the run that they did. So this is really, nobody has a crystal ball. You can't look and say, well, we know that Northern Illinois in 2018 is going to be an 11-win team and a contender for the MAC title game. They could be good. They could be bad. 319-366-1600, Talking Iowa, non-conference schedule. Let's head to Maquoketa and bring Seth onto the program. Seth, good to hear from you again. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, guys. Great topic that you guys brought up, and I agree with a lot of your points. I agree with Alex. Like, it does no good to schedule the North Dakota States and whatnot, and if you lose that game, it does a lot more harm. And I also agree we shouldn't get a pass for scheduling Iowa State. They get so much more amped up for that game than Iowa does, and so that's a lose-lose situation. But I just think they need it, like I said, a power, like you're saying, Todd, about putting on a Power 5 conference so it gets them ready for the season. And as we can see in the bowl play, it would help for later in the year, too, because we've just been getting destroyed in bowl games by Power 5 conferences. So appreciate the topic, guys. Thanks.
No problem. 8477 on the text line says, what is there to gain from the other team's perspective to scheduling the Hawkeyes? Think about this. If Iowa is having this problem, this discussion, don't you think there are some other programs out there that also are looking to do the exact same thing? And again, that's if you have two teams and they make sense and you can make it work, you make it happen. I guess my whole thing on this is I just don't like the way that it was presented or hinted at. And I'm just not a big fan of sort of pulling a fan base along and saying, well, we're having a lot of discussions. I'm really intrigued by the idea of a big Labor Day neutral site game. No guarantees here.
Was this at Media Day? I'm trying to think when this came out because it was Mark Morehouse.
I think it came up at Media
Day,
but I said Mark wrote the story December 28th when we were in Tampa. So it comes up all the time. You can't talk to Gary Barta without talking to him about the football schedule, especially when you had this looming open date in 2019, which has now been filled by the Middle Tennessee State Blue Raiders out of Murfreesboro.
Rick Stockstill, the head coach.
Who, as we know from the press release sent out by Middle Tennessee State, the seventh longest tenured coach.
And I believe his son is no longer the quarterback there. He was the quarterback there last year.
319-366-1600. Kyle says if they lose, not Kyle 3530, Kyle, if they lose the big game early, so be it. They aren't making a splash by not playing it at all. You're going to have people on all sides of the spectrum here. Some people think it's a great idea to play a game like that. Some people say it's not. And then you have people that fall in between. It's just the way that it is. And when the Big Ten went to 9 games a couple years ago with Rutgers and Maryland coming in, then you knew what this was going to mean. You knew if you were buying season tickets to Iowa football, that you were buying season tickets to Big Ten games. Every other year you're getting Iowa State, and then you are getting non-conference games where you're calling your friend, your neighbor, the guy from church, hey man, I got these tickets and I can't use them this weekend. Do you want to go see Iowa take on North Texas? And people will take them because they're free or they're reduced, but they've had an issue in the past when the performance on the field isn't that great and they don't fill Kinnick Stadium and they're not making money, then the athletic department suffers. Now, life gets a lot easier when you're getting $40, $50 million a year from the BTN and ESPN money, which is going to be coming in. But before that gets there, you've still got to fill Kinnick Stadium. And some of these non-conference games, especially if the team dips again, 4 wins, 5 wins, and history says for every up, there's a down, that's where scheduling some of these games becomes an issue because people won't buy tickets to go see Middle Tennessee State. They just won't. 366-1600. Do we have time to step aside and take a break and come back? And then we'll get you a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. And I have a feeling that this is still going to be a topic of conversation in hour number 3 as well. And I don't want to beat a dead horse, but such is life in this business. We'll be back with more after this.
Once upon a time, there was an office full of grumbly staffers with computer issues.
So they called us. We love a challenge.
They needed a rescue from troubled servers, networks, blue screens of death, and more.
That's what we do for businesses in the corridor, and we have been for over 30 years. We are IT Solutions.
They are IT Solutions.
I just said that. Anyway, we know a properly configured and maintained computer network can make your employees 5 to 15% more efficient.
That's a whole lot of happy.
Yeah, it is. We monitor our client systems to make sure they're working. A lot of times, we solve a problem before our client even knows there is one.
Sounds like secret high-tech stuff.
Sure. Our clients have a dozen to a few hundred computers, some a few less, but they all have a lot of happy and productive employees because their computers work.
And they can stay focused on
taking care of their customers instead of their computers.
Find your happily ever after at IneedMyComputersToWork.com.
Go to IneedMyComputersToWork.com to learn more.
It's the Cubs Report, brought to you by the Fieldhouse on First Avenue Northeast, across from Bed Bath & Beyond and next to Copyworks. Monday night was 108 years in the making for Chicago Cubs fans, and boy, did it not disappoint. Players from the past and present gathered in center field before the game to raise the World Series pennant.
You know, the team going out there and raising the flag, and some, I don't want to say old guys, but old guys coming back and, you know, doing the same thing. Definitely something that'll go down in my book is something that I'll remember for a long, long time. And, you know, now look forward to Wednesday and getting the fun stuff, getting the rings.
That was Cubs starter John Lester, who worked 6 innings last night, striking out 7 before turning things over to the bullpen. Right-hander Koji Uehara would blow the save in the 8th inning, setting the table for Anthony Rizzo's walk-off heroics in the bottom of the 9th inning as the Cubs beat the Dodgers 3-2.
It's a great win for us. It's a really good team. They come back, tough conditions, cold, windy, so it's a good game.
The two teams are off today before Wednesday when the Cubs get their rings before Game 2 of the series.
A piece of cake, a Sunday morning, ABC. Those are easy. So is earning a power rate and ATM refunds with power checking at Midwest One Bank. 9 out of 10 new users of power checking say they recommend it because it's easy to qualify and easy to use. Don't settle for free checking when you can earn the power rate with power checking at Midwest One. Open your account at MidwestOne.com today. Qualifications apply. Maximum $15 in ATM fee refunds per qualification cycle. Member FDIC.
Let's dive right into another Midwest One Bank Big Board update before we hit the bottom of the hour. Iowa announced today that it's filled its 2019 football schedule by adding Middle Tennessee State. That game will be played at Kinnick Stadium September 28th. The Hawkeyes' other non-conference games that year include Miami of Ohio and Iowa State. The Blue Raiders will take with them back to Murfreesboro a check for $1,550,000. The Iowa baseball team plays host to Western Illinois tonight at Duane Banks Field. First pitch is set for 6:05. Ryan Brownlee's Leathernecks 9-20 after taking 2 of 3 from Omaha over the weekend. Brownlee, a former Iowa assistant, now in year number 5 in Macomb. The Hawkeyes will throw lefty Elijah Wood. Western Illinois counters with right-hander Jimmy Perkins. The Cedar Rapids Colonels lost to Kane County last night 2-0, then turned around to hand the Cougars their first loss of the season this afternoon in a 6-1 matinee at Northwestern Medicine Field. Tyler Beardsley worked 5 innings to pick up the win. Travis Blankenhorn hit his 3rd home run of the season. The two teams wrap up their 3-game series tomorrow before the Colonels return home to face Wisconsin on Thursday. And Liberty High School has its first volleyball coach, according to the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Iowa City West coach Randy Dolson will coach the Lightning in year number 1.
We're going to head to a Bottom of the Hour Sports Center. This Bottom of the Hour Sports Center update is brought to you by Steve Anderson and his team at Hawkeye Title and Settlement, celebrating 12 years of service.
At Hawkeye Title and Settlement, if we had our way, every house, every store, pretty much every building would be painted black and gold. But alas, ours is not a perfect world. Hi, this is Steve Anderson, and our Hawkeye-loving staff has accepted that fact. So, no matter what color residential or commercial property you're selling or buying, we're here when you need efficient, high-quality real estate title and closing services. Sorry, black and gold paint sold separately. Hawkeye Title and Settlement of Iowa City. You'll love our team just like you love the Hawks.
Brewers, Cardinals first baseman Matt Carpenter out of the lineup in Washington because of a back issue. First pitch in 30 minutes on ESPN. Giants catcher Buster Posey on the 7-day concussion list.
Experience why for nearly a century men have trusted Barbasol for a close, comfortable shave. Whether it's extra moisturizing with vitamin E or soothing aloe, all you have to do is sit back and bask in the glory of your close shave. You're looking good, America. You're shaving with Barbasol.
Greeny, you know how to win at business?
Tell me how.
Show up early for meetings. That way everybody who's only on time looks like slackers.
Well, I got a better way to win at business.
What's that?
Instant free nights at La Quinta Inns and Suites. You can show up with no advance reservation and redeem your La Quinta Returns loyalty points for a free night that same night just by using the La Quinta app.
I feel like I'd win at business more than you.
I'd cream you at business.
Impossible. I'm undefeated at business.
Go to LQ.com now and prepare to win at business.
In your business, you trust people who time and time again get the job done. At Indeed.com, we deliver 5 times more hires than any other job site, according to independent research. That's why over 3 million businesses use Indeed when they're hiring. Because getting the job done matters. Right now, we're giving new users a $50 credit to post a sponsored job on the world's number one job site. Claim your $50 credit at Indeed.com/credit. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Dugatz here for Canadian Mist. You know what I'm looking forward to? Hanging with friends on the back deck. We'll grab the red solo cups, pour some Canadian Mist whiskey with a splash of cola, a little crushed ice. It's so simple. There's absolutely nothing better. Whether you're making stories or telling them, it's how friends share a drink. Read about our story and get some great recipes at CanadianMist.com. Canadian Mist Whiskey. Simply together, drink responsibly. Canadian Mist Blended Canadian Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume, Brown Foreman, Louisville, Kentucky.
You, the woman in the SUV pulling into the yoga studio. You got a truck for a reason, remember? So get some Firestone tires and go do truck stuff. Why just explore your inner self when Firestone Destination LE2 is built for 60,000 miles of truck stuff? So get out as far as you can. Drive down to the Amazon, tool around the muck. Bring back a previously undiscovered type of mud mask. Find your truck tires at FirestoneTire.com. Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone.
5:35 as we hit the halfway point on another Todd Brommelkamp show alongside Alex Kuhn and Zach Johnson sitting in as our associate producer today. More Iowa football talk on the way, as well as how concerned should Cardinals fans be over the team's start? Well, we've got a Cardinal fan here in the studio with us, and I think he's pumping the brakes on hitting the panic button, but we'll get to that in hour number three. The NHL playoffs are right around the corner, and as promised, we bring you Greg Wyshynski every once in a while here on KGYM to satiate the appetite of the hockey fans here in Eastern Iowa, and he's been kind enough to grant us a few minutes this afternoon. The very popular Puck Daddy blog at yahoo.com. Greg, how are you this afternoon?
Well, happy Christmas Eve, boys. It's a very exciting time in our little sport.
It is an exciting time, and both our teams are in the playoffs, and perhaps Alex's St. Louis Blues and my Blackhawks will wind up meeting in the second round, but first they've got some business to take care of. But I don't want to pigeonhole you into one pairing over the other here, but as you look at the bracket, which series intrigues you the most in the first round?
It's definitely Chicago and Nashville. I mean, there's only a few series in the first round that are true rivalry battles where you expect it to be nasty. Nashville obviously is sick and tired of Blackhawks fans invading their arena for every home game. And, you know, there's a playoff history here. There's a, you know, one team being bullied by the other team thing happening here with Nashville having lost a great number of games in their last 20 games to Chicago. So this is a real moment for the Predators to try to, you know, overcome their tormentor, but at the same time, it's also a chance for the Blackhawks to build on what amounts to a dynasty in this day and age under the salary cap.
Greg, you talk about the Chicago Blackhawks, and this is a team that should be well-rested coming into the season. They uncharacteristically, their season ended after the first round last year. Are they the clear-cut favorites out of the Western Conference?
I think so. I mean, I think the way the Pacific Division breaks out, there's a very good chance that San Jose, who won the conference last year, could be out in the first round. I think it's a really tough matchup for them against Edmonton, especially with the Oilers having home ice, and they're going to be super enthusiastic making the playoffs for the first time in 10 years. They've got really good goaltending. So, you know, San Jose being the other team that was sort of, I think, favored before the season, they could be in trouble in the first round. If that happens, and you know, the Blackhawks, I think, would be the team that you're looking at, but I'm not looking at them, to be honest with you. I don't want to break any hearts here, but I'm picking the upset. I'm picking the Predators over the Blackhawks in the first round. The Blackhawks out in one in consecutive seasons. It doesn't make any sense logically because the Predators can't seem to beat them, but it's one of those deals where I feel like Nashville is going to kind of find itself in the playoffs. Sometimes you get teams that were sort of middling and underwhelming in the regular season, that it all kind of comes together in the playoffs, and I'm kind of gambling that the Predators are that team this year.
Great. Yeah, that prediction kind of makes this next question a little bit more interesting. You brought up the Edmonton Oilers, led by one of the brightest young stars in Connor McDavid in the NHL. Is this a team that's ready to contend?
I think so. I think they're going to win. I haven't won it in six over San Jose. Like I said, you know, the worry point for the Oilers, I think, is one that San Jose is pretty practiced in the arts of shutting down opposing star players, and this is the first time Connor McDavid is dealing with a playoff run and the kind of defense that you see in the playoffs. But the other point of concern is that their goalie, Cam Talbot, who's been ridiculously good this season, has also played a lot of games. And you're wondering if maybe at some point he's going to, you know, exhaustion's going to set in and the sharpness is going to go away for this guy. But I think it won't happen until the second round. And speaking of exhaustion, I mean, this is a veteran Sharks team that played an extra 25 games last year in the playoffs going to the Cup Final. And then on top of that, had a bunch of their guys in that World Cup before the season. So there's a lot of extra mileage on these wheels. And I'm wondering if maybe the stumble that we saw for them towards the end of the season might be indicative of a decline in their play at the wrong time.
I'm talking hockey with Greg Wyshynski here on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. The Washington Capitals have won 10 of their last 12. They're a one seed. Is this possibly the year for the Capitals to make a run?
It better be, because they've got a bunch of free agents coming up, and I think there's going to be wholesale changes, you know, whether they win or lose this season. But, you know, the thing about the Caps is that, you know, the difference between this team and the teams that have disappointed through the years, you know, Ovechkin's time in the NHL is their goalie, Braden Holtby. You know, just having a guy who has the ability to bust a slump if you lose a game that you're not that you're supposed to win. I've long said that the only way they were, not the only way, but the easiest way that they were going to be able to try to win this season is if somebody cleared the deck of the Penguins. That's on the Blue Jackets. I'm not quite sure if it's going to happen, but it certainly would make the Capitals' chances exponentially greater if they don't have to face their arch rival in the next round.
And you lead me right into the next question. The defending champions, a little bit of question marks going into the playoffs. I guess one of those questions was answered today. Evgeny Malkin will be ready to go in game one, but Chris Kunitz, Carl Hagelin, Chris Letang was out injured earlier this season. There seem to be a lot of question marks for the Penguins going into a tough series with the Blue Jackets.
Yeah, and the Letang injury is the biggest one. I mean, that's a premier puck-moving defenseman coming out of their lineup against a Blue Jackets team that really likes to pin you in your own zone on the forecheck. I'm a coward, so I picked the Penguins in the series. But honestly, I wouldn't be surprised if this is the Blue Jackets win. And you know, Sergei Bobrovsky's the best goalie in hockey this season. Much like Nashville versus Chicago, this is a series where one of the teams has a big chip on their shoulder. There's always Penguins fans in Columbus, and the Blue Jackets are tired of being in that shadow. Hard to imagine the Penguins going out and won, but it's not something inconceivable, although I think they win the series.
I don't think you have to look any further than the fact that we haven't had a repeat champion in the NHL since Detroit did it in 97 and 98 to prove that the salary cap is having an effect on things here. But are you surprised that it's been that long since we've had a team go back-to-back?
No, you're right. I mean, Detroit almost did it in the Cap era back-to-back when they lost to the Penguins that year. It's tough. It's not only tough because of the salary cap and teams like Chicago having to constantly churn their supporting cast over just to afford their star players, but it's also just tough because it's a grind. And the bottom line is that when you play 82 games in the regular season, you tack on 24 games in the postseason. It's a lot of wear and tear on these guys to be able to do that, and it makes repeating extraordinarily tough.
Greg, I'm going to phrase this as the biggest Blues homer ever, but does Mike Yeo have a chance to go in and upset his former team?
This is another one where I'm picking against the Blues, but I do so with only one reason, and that's that I don't trust Jake Allen as a...
Looks like we lost Greg. We'll try to get him back on the line.
History made on the Todd Brommelkamp Show at 5:43. We'll see if we can get Greg back with us. The NHL playoffs get started this week. A couple games tomorrow and several on Thursday as well. The Chicago Blackhawks and Nashville Predators series gets underway Thursday at 7 o'clock on NBC Sportsnet. So I know we've got a lot of Blackhawk fans in the area, more so this time of year than any other.
Well, Greg has both of our teams exiting in the first round. Should we reconnect with him?
Yeah, and I can't make any comments about Mike Yeo and St. Louis, because if Sergio Garcia can win a major, then St. Louis can have success in the postseason. Well,
hey, sorry about that. I'm on a choo-choo train. I must have gone through a soft area. But where do we leave off? My reasoning why I think the Blues will lose?
Correct.
I don't trust Jake Allen. That's the only reason I'm picking against him. I don't trust him as a playoff goalie. I think the Wild are good enough to win the series, and you know, if the Blues get the competent goal setting that you hope they get from him, that he's come along and matured and become a guy you can depend on, then they can easily win the series. But I'm picking against St. Louis for one reason and one reason only, which is that they don't have Brian Elliott there anymore to pick up the slack if Allen falters.
One of the big storylines of the NHL season last year was that zero teams from Canada made the playoffs. This year, five of them. Which one lasts the longest?
I would say Montreal probably has the best chance of lasting the longest. You know, I had them going over the Rangers in the first round. That's the potential to be a really interesting series, in the sense that the last time they played, Carey Price, their, you know, all-world goalie, was taken out in game one by Chris Kreider crashing the net. I think he's going to come back with a vengeance in that series. And then after that, it could set up a really interesting series where Claude Julien faces the team that fired him mid-season in the Boston Bruins. But I think Montreal probably has the stuff to last the longest. They might have the easiest path, but it wouldn't surprise me if it's one of those Alberta teams coming out of the Pacific Division, if the Flames somehow beat the Ducks, and if the Oilers do what I expect them to do and knock off the Sharks.
Greg Wyshynski talking hockey with us here at 5:45 in Eastern Iowa. Were you surprised to see the Los Angeles Kings make the moves that they did yesterday?
I was. I mean, I think we all saw the Daryl Sutter thing coming down the pike because the players had kind of quit on him, and he wasn't playing the younger guys like they were hoping that he would. At least management would hope that he would. So the writing was on the wall there. But the idea that the general manager and Dean Lombardi, the guy who was the architect of two Stanley Cup teams, would you know, get not only kicked out of the GM spot, but would no longer be with the organization is kind of a shocker. I thought it was going to be one of those kicked upstairs kind of deals, but instead it's a clean sweep. And you know, they got some heavy lifting to do there. They've got a lot of players over the age of 30. They got a lot of long-term contracts. I'm not quite sure what the next steps are for the Kings, if they think the window's closed or if they try to make one more go at it.
Greg, the one thing that is interesting about these playoffs to me is you have the present of the National Hockey League, Ovechkin, Crosby, Taves, Marchand, all in the playoffs. But I think that the future of this game is also being featured. Connor McDavid, Johnny Gaudreau, Austin Matthews, Sean Monahan, those type of guys. Is this a kind of a big year for the playoffs to try to kind of push some momentum for the sport moving forward with a guy like Austin Matthews who broke the rookie goal record?
Oh yeah, it's a big opportunity. I have a story coming out tomorrow on the site about NBC and how they're looking at this situation, and you know, really going to be paying attention to the ratings on those Edmonton games and the ratings on those Toronto games, wherein if people are tuning in to watch these young star players, we're going to see more of them during the regular season, which is only a good thing. So it's going to be, I don't know if it'll be a changing of the guard necessarily, but it is certainly sort of widening the number of names that you kind of tune in to watch, and that's only a good thing for hockey in the States. If, of course, NBC decides to put on more Edmonton games next year, which is always a dicey proposition.
What's a more disappointing hockey story, in your opinion? The fact that the NHL doesn't want to be involved with the Olympics anymore, or what's going on with the U.S. women's national team?
Well, it's sort of equal. The women's national team situation sort of got rectified, so I guess we take that out of the realm of disappointment to just being a bit more frustrating than anything. But, you know, the thing about the Olympics and the NHL, I sympathize with every player that's upset about not getting a chance to represent his country, but I'm kind of team NHL on this one, especially because they're gripes with the IOC, which is the single most crooked organization in the world outside of maybe FIFA. The bottom line is that, you know, the NHL has been sending their players pro bono for, you know, several Olympiads now and not getting anything financial out of it. Basically lending their stars, their product to the IOC, who makes all the profits. And that paradigm has to change. And the bottom line is that the IOC not only refused to share the revenue, but also pulled the basic funding that they had for the NHL to begin with. And, this is hardball, and it stinks for hockey fans, but it's, I think, the right thing to do at the end of the day.
He's on Twitter at Wyshynski. Stanley Cup playoffs are here. He called it Christmas morning. We're about 24 hours away. Greg, we appreciate it as always. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Great stuff at yahoo.com.
Did you know this?
Chances are the answer is no. I'm going to be honest with you.
The Pup Daddy blog, I don't think that people realize the kind of pull that that blog has. Did you know that he was the leader of the charge to get John Scott into the All-Star game a couple years ago?
I remember him being heavily involved in that.
He was very heavily involved in that. And I remember about, I think it was 4 or 5 years ago, he took a shot with an official in a bar and took a picture of it, posted it online, the official got suspended.
I do recall the ensuing flap that happened after that.
If you're a hockey fan in the United States, Puck Daddy, there are very few places to get your information. The Puck Daddy blog is a very, very good spot.
Daryl Sutter wins 2 cups with the Kings, and now he's out of a job.
The first 2 in the history of the franchise.
He had 3 years with the Blackhawks during the dark ages back in the early 90s. I think 91, 92, I think, was his first season coaching the Blackhawks. And then he went to San Jose and Calgary. And the Kings had a good thing going there. But as you heard Greg, and the players just sort of quit on you. And when that happens, I'm really interested in seeing what happens with Minnesota and St. Louis, because as you mentioned, Mike Yeo going up against his former team, could they possibly win that series? And then the likelihood of facing the Blackhawks in the second round, which I like Greg as the contrarian there.
See,
going with Nashville over Chicago.
See, he called himself a coward for picking the Penguins over the Blue Jackets, but then drops the hammer. I want to see one person other than him that has Nashville winning that series. That is a bold prediction.
I like the cut of his jib there, even though I'm a Blackhawks fan. Game 1 and 2 will be at the United Center on Thursday and Saturday, and then games 3 and 4 at Bridgestone Arena in downtown Nashville. 5 and 7 at the United Center if necessary, with game 6 in between that series. If it goes to game 7, we'll finish up April 26th. That's the one complaint that a lot of people have about the Stanley Cup playoffs, is that it tends to feel like it takes forever. But you could say that about the hockey season in general. But for those who enjoy the sport, this is a fun time. And Greg's also one of the first guys that I've talked to or have heard say that he is hashtag Team NHL with the Olympics discussion.
That is interesting. And the first thing that I thought of when they said they were not going to the Olympics was, and exactly what Greg brought up, is the IOC and the not wanting to deal with them. And I really didn't think that that was such a bad thing. But I thought back to Tyler Ryder's favorite team, the New York Islanders.
Glad you brought Tyler up, because we got a story that's right up his alley before we hit the top of the hour.
Well, I can't wait to hear that, but 4 years ago, John Tavares tore his ACL. The star of the New York Islanders tore his ACL during the Olympics and was out for the rest of the season, obviously, with the Islanders. Their playoff hopes were diminished, their revenue went down, and for what? Zero funding in return from the IOC. So I understand it from that perspective.
All right, we've got a Midwest One Bank Big Board update and a nod to my former co-host before the top of the hour after this.
The KGYM Road Trip comes to you live with the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. It's your chance to hang out while we're broadcasting and get your hands on some swag from the gym and other prizes. Pick up your raffle ticket when you walk in the door. Want to know when it's happening? Find the road trip schedule at kgymradio.com. The KGYM Road Trip, live from the Coach's Corner Sports Pub, Mormon Trek Boulevard in Iowa City. Driven by Linder Tire Service, online at lindertire.com.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to kgymradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great, and we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
Hi, Patrick Eads, owner of Geary Ford. I may not have the biggest dealership or the largest inventory, but I can promise you a fast, hassle-free experience with the friendliest people around and our best price up front.
On over 100 sale-priced used cars that come with 3 months, 3,000 miles comprehensive warranty, and payments as low as $119 a month with zero down, or up to $6,000 off MSRP on new Fusion and Escapes. With more inventory, more financing, and lower rates, you'll drive home in a newer vehicle and have a lower monthly payment than you have now.
Experience the way car buying should be at Geary Ford Iowa City or online at GearyFord.com.
All right, this is a choose your own adventure, Alex. Do you want the big board first, or do you want a nod, an homage, if you will, to Tyler Ryder as he makes his way out of town?
You know what? I think let's build the anticipation. Do you think that's a good idea?
I think it's a great idea. Midwest One bringing you this big board update. 40 locations across the corridor headquartered in Iowa City. The Hawkeyes announcing today that they've completed their 2019 football schedule by adding Middle Tennessee State. That's not the nod to Tyler, by the way. That game will be played September 28th in Iowa City. The other non-conference games that year, Miami of Ohio and Iowa State, the Blue Raiders get $1,550,000 for making the trip to Kinnick Stadium. The Iowa baseball team's getting ready to play Western Illinois tonight at Duane Banks Field. First pitch is scheduled for 6:05. Ryan Brownlee's Leathernecks 9-20 after they took 2 of 3 from Omaha over the weekend. Brownlee, a former Iowa assistant in year number 5, coaching in Macomb. The Hawkeyes are set to throw left-hander Elijah Wood in what will be his first college start tonight. The Cedar Rapids Colonels fell at the Kane County Cougars last night 2-0, then turned around today to beat the Cougars for the first time this season, handing them their first loss in a 6-1 matinee at Northwestern Medicine Field. Tyler Beardsley worked 5 innings to pick up the win. Travis Blankenhorn connected on his 3rd homer of the year. The two teams wrap up that 3-game series tomorrow in Geneva, Illinois, before the Colonels return home to face Wisconsin on Thursday. And Liberty High School has its first volleyball coach. Iowa City West's Randy Dolson gets the head coaching job. Glenn Jacobs is running for mayor in Knox County, Tennessee. And I don't know much about my former co-host's political views. I really don't. I think I know what direction that he leans. But I have a feeling that I could almost guarantee you that Tyler Ryder will be casting a ballot once he changes his residence for Glenn Jacobs. Because Glenn Jacobs is better known to WWE fans as Kane. Kane is running for mayor. He announced his decision in a Facebook Live video because, of course, that's what everybody does nowadays.
I have an idea for a new segment. Basically, who is running for public office? No, that's not going to get off the ground. Finding the most random people who are running for public office, because I feel like we've gone through about 10 or 15 names in the first 2 days of the show.
He's going to have to beat Knox County Commissioner Bob Thomas. And if he wants to win,
because why not?
Kane, better known as Glenn Jacobs, and officially running for mayor of Knox County. How do you run for mayor of a county? I don't know. There are questions that I don't have the answers to, and this is going to take a little bit more research. Apparently, he took the podium to the chorus of Brooks and Dunn's Only in America. Yes, only in America could a former professional wrestler run for mayor of a county, a city? I don't know. Back with more after this.
Trex composite decking is rot and splinter resistant. Wood is not. Trex is insect proof. Wood is not. Trex eliminates time-consuming maintenance. Wood does not. Trex comes with a 25-year fade and stain warranty. Wood does not. So here's the question. Why would you ever choose to build with wood? Make sure your next deck is built with Trex.
Hey, Golic, big vacation this summer. Any survival tips?
Yep, Greeny. Pack a roll of T-Rex tape.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. T-Rex tape is ferociously strong for quick fixes, even on rough and dirty surfaces.
How strong are we talking?
Well, T-Rex tape is formulated with super aggressive adhesive for ultimate holding power. Ripping your luggage? T-Rex will fix that. Hole in your kayak? It has a waterproof backing and UV-resistant materials to hold up in extreme weather.
I've got to get my hands on T-Rex.
T-Rex ferociously strong tape.
Available at Menards.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
If your vehicle